I know you probably talked about this before, but this would be the first time I've chatted with you on the air, and I'm aware of your, you know, background playing in the majors, playing baseball. So Travis tells me you had two at-bats, which is two more than Steve or I or pretty well all our listeners had. And what was that like, and how did two major league at-bats go for you? I think it was the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, I was always a reliever, so it was hard for me to get at-bats.
Yeah.
But I remember my first at-bat in Double-A, I faced John Axford. And John Axford and I go back, you know, I think we were 16 years old when we first played together. And he threw a curveball in the dirt, in the grass maybe, and I swung at it. And that was my first experience with hitting in professional baseball. So thank you, John Axford, for making me look like a fool. Hopefully he's listening in Burlington right now.
And yeah, the point bringing up, of course, and why I thought of it was watching Jacob Wagesback bat last night. When you watch American League teams, you forget. You hit against National League teams. And I'm curious. I mean, you talk about those two experiences you get as a pitcher. They're few and far between. Do you think the National League should go to the DH, join the American League? It's time. Or do you like the two leagues having two subtleties?
So obviously the purists want to keep the pitcher as a hitter, and I couldn't disagree with them more. It just takes away from the quality of the baseball. You know, people that have never played in the American League, they just think that's the way baseball is. You know, every nine hitters, there's one guy that's just terrible. And then once you get to the American League, you realize that there's no bad hitter in any lineup. So it just makes the baseball a lot better. Think about how many jams pitchers get out of because they intentionally walk the eight-hole guy to get to the pitcher, bases loaded, and you make the nine-hole guy who's the pitcher look like a fool. It's just the way the National League is played. With that being said, you know, managing in the National League is a lot harder because you have double switches and all those things, and you have to factor in, you know, sack bunts of the pitcher and all those things. So that's really the only thing that's harder in the National League with the pitcher being in the lineup is the managing. If you're a manager in the American League, the only thing you have to worry about is writing down the lineup and managing the bullpen. That is it. I don't want to take anything away from managing because I know it's a difficult job, but in the American League, managing is not difficult. So I guess there's two sides to the coin. I think there's the purists that want to keep the cat and mouse game of National League baseball, but then, you know, there's a guy like me who just wants better quality baseball. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to see Jacob Wagesback hit. I just don't. Like, I would rather see a really good DH hit and basically not laugh the guy back to the dugout.
Yeah, well, you don't want to watch the guy hit, but last night we got to watch him pitch, and it was actually pretty good. Did you think that the guy that the Jays got for Aaron Loop could perform like this?
Oh man, last night was one of the first times that I really, really paid attention to Jacob Wagesback, and it was impressive. I've heard a lot of things that he. You know, in AAA, I think he had a 5.5 ERA, and that's not always a positive sign, right? Like, I've always said that if you can't pitch in AAA, then you can't pitch in the big leagues because the big leagues is just better. But the thing being with his stats is his walk rate has gotten way better since he's gotten to the big leagues. So I think that's why you see his overall performance becoming better. And I say that because Sean Reed Foley had a 6, I think, in Buffalo. And he had a 2 ERA up until maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was just very adamant that he wasn't going to be able to keep that up because his walk rate was still really, really high. And that's the biggest thing. When you get to the big leagues, you can't walk guys because the more guys you walk, the more, you know, the less room there is for error. So Jacob Wagesback, even though his stuff is pretty average across the board, I think that once you reduce that walk rate, it really puts you in a position to be successful. And for Sean Reed Foley, it just didn't happen. hopefully he figures something out in AAA because he just got sent down a couple of days ago. But for Jacob Wagastack, I think that's the biggest thing that's really helped him become more successful than he was when he was in Buffalo.
Chris LaRue joining us, Blue Jay analyst on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet Today, Gord Stellick, Steve Dangle. Jay's taking on the Seattle Mariners tonight. And as we talk about Jacob Wagastack, and, you know, we're looking now, position players have been the story du jour, Chris, the great young players coming up, or seemingly great ones so far for the Toronto Blue Jays. But what a week for pitching. I mean, the Nate Pearson story, we've known a little bit more about him, but to get that quality start in Buffalo, TJ Zoik, a first-round pick of the first-round pick of the Shapiro Atkins era, coming through with a no-hitter, and then seeing another solid innings from Wagastack. So you look ahead, how do you see the rotation evolving with which people and how and including relievers as well? I mean the stalwart pitchers that will be there, and how soon or how long is it going to take?
I'm really, really, really excited about Nate Pearson. He's kind of a once in a 10-year span type of arm, a guy that can throw strikes, that can throw 100 miles an hour. You just don't find those guys every single day. So I'm most excited about Nate Pearson. But from the current group that's in the big leagues, I'm not really sure. You know, you got Ryan Barucki, who should be healthy next year in spring training. I think he's the one guy, and maybe Jacob Wagastack are the, you know, those are the two guys that I think will be in this rotation at the start of next year, and maybe, you know, 2-3 years down the road. Other than that, you know, I'm not really, really excited. I haven't seen Zoik enough to know what he has. You know, I don't really dive too much into AA games or AAA games, but from what I've seen with my own two eyes, I think that those are the two guys that are going to be in this, you know, in the rotation for the next couple of years. If I was being honest, I think that the pitching still needs a lot of work. You know, the offensive side of the Blue Jays organization right now is just unbelievable. That's what people come to watch, right? Like, people aren't coming to watch Jacob Wagastack. No disrespect to him, but they're coming to watch Bo Bichette and Vladdy Jr. I think for the Blue Jays to be successful, to be the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Houston Astros of the world, they need to get pitching. And I know that Ross Atkins and Shapiro know that. They're just kind of biding their time with these guys that are essentially Band-Aids. With Barucki, you know, I think Barucki is not a Band-Aid, but everyone else in the rotation right now is a Band-Aid. So those guys will go out and get good pitching. I know that they have the skill level as GM and president to go out and get good pitching. But, you know, when you're comparing the offensive side to the pitching, it's just no comparison. The offensive side of this team is just unbelievable. I'm so excited to come to the ballpark every day and watch these guys. I know a million people have said that already, but watching young guys like this, it's just so fun. It reminds me of the Houston Astros and, you know, 13 or around there when Jose Altuve and Correa and those guys started coming up. So there's a lot of good things coming from this Blue Jays organization, but from the pitching, you know, from pitching standpoint, it's just not there yet.
Yeah, you're touching on something here. Like, as a fan, I'm conflicted, right? Especially about a game like last night. Like, when I think about the process, I'm like, okay, great performance from Wagastack, a Vladdy home run. I'm always down for a Vladdy home run, but in the end, they lost. And I know it's not about wins and losses right now, but it's a little bit about wins and losses in sports, isn't it? So how do I look at it as a fan?
So for right now, I think that you just have to expect losses and expect to go to the ballpark and enjoy watching Bo Bichette, Vladdy Jr., you know, those guys. Just because the process is real. You know, the Philadelphia 76ers talked about that the last 3 years. The process is a real thing. You know, this is a rebuilding process, and the Blue Jays have real potential to be a top American League team in the next 2 or 3 years because of the talent that they have. So you just have to put up with the Derek Laws of the world and whoever else in the bullpen blowing a game, just because that's not what the Blue Jays are worried about right now. They'll figure out the bullpen when they're really, really good in 2 years. So the fact that you go see a Los Angeles Dodgers game, they're against one of the top teams in Major League Baseball right now, and they're winning 2-0 in the ninth inning. Vladdy Jr. is 3-for-4. Jacob Blagisback just went 7 innings, 1 hit. And the only hit he gave up was to Kenta Maeda, the pitcher. Those are the things that really help me sleep at night when I'm looking at this team, that really, really get me going. And the fact that Derek Law came into the game, and yeah, he's a good pitcher. He's a good arm. He might be on the roster in, you know, 2-3 years. But that's not what I'm worried about. The fact that he came in and gave up 3 runs to blow the game, is it literally doesn't change how excited I am at the end of the game. Yeah, it's a bummer, but it's also really, really cool for those young guys to see 50,000 people screaming and to see that the Los Angeles Dodgers jumping up and down and realize that that's how they want to end games in 2 years. That's how they want to beat guys. They want to beat guys when they're down 2-0 in the ninth inning and be able to come back. And I think that's a positive that you can take away from this game, is that Vladdy Jr. went 3-for-4, Jake Wagisback went 7 innings, and they got to see the Los Angeles Dodgers celebrate with literally 50,000 people screaming up and down, and that's what they want the Rogers Center to be like in 2 years.
Does that change for Seattle at all? Because like, it's one thing to go up against a top team, but now you're against a team that's a little more your level, right?
Well, I think that's another thing as well, right? Like if they were playing against a team that was more their speed, I think that would be it, winning would be more important. But at the end of the day, if like I said, if Bo Bichette is killing the baseball and Vladdy Jr. is going 3-for-4 and whoever, Trent Thornton, let's say, is dealing, and they end up losing 3-2 because Ryan Adam gave up a run in the ninth. That's not going to, you know, Charlie Montoyo might be upset about that, but I think as a general fan, you shouldn't be upset, because you can envision this team 2 years from now just dominating because Ryan Adam is probably not going to be in a ball game if it's 1-0 in the ninth inning, you know, or Derek Law is not going to be in the ball game if it's 2-0 in the ninth inning against a Los Angeles Dodgers team. But I do think that if you're playing against a team like the Seattle Mariners, winning is more important because wins do, you know, help with the morale of the team. But at the end of the day, as a fan, I think that the individual performances and the potential of these guys is more important than actual wins and losses.